have even become convinced as a society that if we lean on somebody else, that's just a sign of weakness. Oh, you just can't do it yourself. You're just too weak to do that. But I ask, is that the way it should be? Is that the way it really is? Is this how it's really supposed to be? If you'd go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Our brother read a portion of that a minute ago. And I want to read a somewhat lengthy portion of Scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Starting in verse 12. The body is a unit. Though it is made up of many parts, and though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free. And we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Now the body is not made up of one part, but of many. If the foot should say, "Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body," it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. And if the ear should say, "Because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body," it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has arranged the parts in the body, every one of them, just as He wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, "I do not need you." And the head cannot say to the feet, "I don't need you." On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has combined the members of the body and has given greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there would be no division in the body, but that its parts would have equal concern for one another. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each of you is a part of it. I want you to think of that. Think of it and really let it sink in. Why would Paul use your body as a description of the church, of the body of Christ? Because it makes so much sense the way he says it. If one suffers, one part of your body suffers, the entire body suffers. You ever been walking through the bedroom at night? You don't want to turn a light on? Because you might wake up somebody and you kick the edge of the bed or the door frame. Your toe was what hurt, right? But it affected your entire body. From all the way from the bottom to the top, it affected your entire body. Same way, have you ever hit the wrong nail with a hammer? That one little part affects the entire body. Now imagine not having just a little part of your body. Think about, I don't know, the work that your big toe does. It affects your balance. I mean, it fills up your sock, keeps your shoe on. But it does a lot, doesn't it? Can you imagine how much more difficult it would be if you didn't have that big toe? Or your thumb. I mean, in relation to your body, that's just something small, isn't it? But imagine how much more difficult your life would be without a thumb. And I know some people have. And it's difficult. It takes an adjustment, doesn't it? So why should we be talking about that today? Because Scripture is definitely clear that we are one body as members of the Lord's church. The church is the body of Christ. Ephesians says that plainly. Let's turn to it. Ephesians chapter 1. Verse 22. And God placed all things under His feet and appointed Him to be head over everything for the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills everything in every way. He's talking about Christ. The church is the body of Christ. And then if you flip back to Ephesians chapter 4, it makes perfect sense. Our brother read it earlier. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. One God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. It makes sense to use the analogy of the body, doesn't it? How many bodies do you have? Really? You have one. Well, how many bodies does Christ have? He has one. The body of Christ is the church. Why does it matter to know that we are the body of Christ? Is it important for us at all to understand that, to know that we are the body of Christ? One of the prevalent things that we can see in our society today is identity crisis. Right? I mean, we can see that in people. You know, we all have probably known people that they were different from week to week. They were looking to grab hold of something, anything to fit in, right? Anything to have an identity that they could identify with. And that sounds redundant, but you understand what I'm saying. So I wonder if we can relate this to the Lord's church. How many times have we seen people in the Lord's church, congregations of the Lord's church, go through an identity crisis? Well, maybe if we just did this, if we changed the wording on the building, maybe if we redone our building and made it look so much better like those down the road. Maybe if we tried different days to worship, we could please more people and more people would come. But we really need to boil it down to just a few things, right? To understand our identity, we really need to just ask a few questions. Who do we belong to? Who do we belong to? Who bought us with His blood? Christ. Who redeemed us? Christ. Who do we belong to? Christ. If you're a member of the Lord's church, you belong to Christ. That is your identity. So many people don't understand that the words Church of Christ out on the building It's not just a name. It's an identity. It shows ownership, possession. And then we can ask ourselves, who do we represent? Christ. That's who we should represent, right? Who are we trying to please? God. That is our identity, isn't it? So it helps us to understand that we are one body being in the Lord's church. How do we become that one body? Well, I guess the quickest, the straight line to that answer is we are obedient to the Lord's commands, right? We obey the gospel that He has laid out before us. Because it's important for us to understand that, to know that, because so many people in the world think that there is no real plan. There is no real pattern of how we become a member of the Lord's church. Of how we become a member of any church. Correct? I mean, there's so many people that say, well, you become a Christian and then you just join whatever church you like. But that's not what we read, is it? Turn in your Bibles back to Acts chapter 2. As I said, I'm probably not going to teach you anything you don't already know. I just want to remind you of what you already knew. Starting in verse 42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common, selling their possessions and goods they gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. So how do we become a member of the Lord's church? The Lord adds us to the church. The Lord adds us to the number, adds to the church the number that are being saved. And as we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 and 13, we are baptized by the Spirit into the body. Now, it's not, I got to say this correctly, it's not something we do on our own. Yes, we make the decision to be baptized, but the Lord adds us to the church. The Spirit adds us to the church. It's not really something we... I don't want to say that way. But that's the way it is. The Lord adds us to the church. The Spirit puts us in the church when we are obedient to the gospel. I've known a lot of people who were foster parents. And I've known people who were foster parents that adopted a lot of the children that were in their care. And after they were adopted, they became every bit as part of that family as those who were theirs naturally. They're equal, right? But different. Does that make sense? And we think about those that are brought into the church. And isn't that what Scripture says? Doesn't matter if you're slave or Greek, free. It doesn't matter. Because once you're baptized into Christ, you're all equal. You're different, but the same. The same but different. However you want to say it. So what does that have to do with our independence and individuality? Since we are one body, our lives are intertwined. Right? Our lives are intertwined. Why did we pray for our brothers and sisters in Christ this morning? Because what affects them affects us. What happens to them has a result in what happens to us, doesn't it? Being a member of the body means that we are unique. We have an effect on others, right? Just like that hammer hitting your thumb makes your whole body react, anything that happens to our brothers and sisters in Christ affect us. Think about it. Think about being hungry. Everybody's been hungry in here, right? Some of it maybe right now. In an hour and a half, we'll leave. And okay, some of you got that. No, we'll leave here. We'll depart. We'll go, and most of us will go to lunch somewhere. And you're probably pretty hungry, especially after that preacher talks way too long. And he's talking about food. But your whole body reacts, doesn't it? You walk into the restaurant and you smell it. And maybe you get tingles because you got to stand there until they call you, right? And you normally don't sit down because you're really impatient. And your mouth starts watering when you smell it. And you got that anticipation. And you get excited, right? When you hear your name called. Party of six, party of two, party of three. And then you finally go get to sit down. And you can't wait for that waitress or waiter to give you the menu. Because you know what's coming. Do you see how just that one thing, your stomach being empty, affects the whole rest of your body? It affects what you do. It affects what you think. It affects how you feel. Now look at the church today. Look around you. Literally, seriously, look around you at your brothers and sisters in Christ. Ones that you know are going through things, going through struggles. Or maybe being happy because they had something happen to their lives that you're just giddy about. When we get together and we have a baby announcement, everybody's happy, aren't they? Because we share in it. And what affects one affects the rest. Why? Because we are one body. We also need to be willing to lean on others, right? And that goes with a caveat. We need to be willing to lean on others, but we also need to be willing to be leaned on by others. And usually one of those is harder for us than the other. It's usually harder to lean on somebody than it is to be leaned on, right? Because we have been brought up in our society that having to rely on somebody is weakness. If you can't do it yourself, you're just weak. But that's not what we see Scripture saying, is it? That's not what we see God describing His church as. We all have a unique function, and that is what we bring to the body. You know where I'm going, right? Romans chapter 12. It talks about the body as well. I think it's kind of neat. I know man divided the Scriptures as far as chapter and verse, but I think it's neat that 1 Corinthians 12 talks about one body and Romans chapter 12 talks about one body. Romans chapter 12, verses 4 and following. Just as each of us have one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts. According to the grace given us, if a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. We use our spiritual gifts to help the family. Do you see that? That we are not only belong to God when we become a member of the Lord's church, we belong to each other. That puts a whole other perspective on it, doesn't it? So I feel like sometimes whenever we are not here, and we could be, this is not an indictment if you can't be here, but whenever we're not here, we choose not to be. You're not only suffering, I believe the body's suffering. Because you're not here with your spiritual gift. Whatever that gift may be. Look around. We all got gifts that are spiritual and physical, don't we? There's a lot of people in here that can't do what I can do. There's a lot of people in here that can do a lot of things that I can't do. And it's so beautiful when you see that working in harmony. I can't do it, but you can. So I'm going to come to you for help. Or maybe you can't do it, but I can. So you can come to me for help. And that's the way the body is whole. And that's the way God designed the church to be. One body, many members. The gifts that we bring belong to the family. They're not ours. I guess another way of saying it is you are God's gift to me and I'm God's gift to you. That sounds conceited to say that last part, but you understand what I'm saying. We all have things that God gives us that we can use for the family. No matter what you think you can't do, you can do something that somebody else can't. Let's look at a typical family. Okay, this might be a 1950s Leave It to Beaver version. All right? The mother enjoys cooking and raising the kids, and the father enjoys going out and working and making a living. And the big brother, he would rather go out and mow than clean his room. Right? Okay, maybe I was. Of course, I wasn't a big brother. Anyway. But there are certain things, and the little sister, she's not old enough to mow, so she can do stuff in the house. But do you see the way the entire family works together to make that household run? Same way in the church. Exactly the same way, right? The entire family, because we are a family, correct? The entire family works together to make us whole. And we see that in Scripture as well. And I know I harped on this the other day, but Scripture says, Paul says, I planted, Apollos watered. God gave the increase. See, there are certain things that we can do and certain things we can't do that other people can. So why am I harping on this so much? Because I believe we do a disservice to God and a disservice to one another when we don't understand that we are one body no matter how many members it has. And we can say that as a on a congregational level, but we can say that on a universal level too, can't we? Right now, this very, maybe not this very minute because it's dark on the other side of the world. It's a different time. But on the Lord's Day, on the other side of the world, we have brothers and sisters in Christ that are going through things that maybe we're not. And maybe we can help them with that, and we do a lot, don't we? You know, that's what mission field is all about. That's what mission work is all about, helping others who maybe can't help themselves the way that we can. And they help us in ways that we can't help ourselves. So there's no greater thing in this world. I want to say this and I want to say it loud. There is no greater thing in this world than being a member of the Lord's body. Being a member of the Lord's church. The lesson today is that you are not your own. You are not your own. You belong to each and every person in here, right? So share your gift. Share yourself. Share your talent. No matter, I've heard so many people say, well, I just can't do anything. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. You can do something. Every one of us can do something. Maybe you can't stand up and preach a sermon from the pulpit. Maybe you can't teach a class, but you can do something. Every one of us has gifts because God made us all. And I know it sounds cliche, but God don't make no junk. Right? As I said, you are an important part of the body of Christ. The most important thing in our lives is that we are a member of the church, a member of Christ's body. So, let me ask this question. Are you a member of Christ's body? It's real easy to become a member of Christ's body. Maybe you're here today and you've heard the gospel, and you're ready to respond to the gospel and meet Him in the waters of baptism to rise and walk in newness of life. If you have that need or you have any other need this morning, we want to give you the opportunity to let us know how we can serve you, how we can share our gifts with you. If you have that need or any other need, like I said, please come forward. While together we stand and sing this song of invitation.
I believe in God the Father, and Jesus Christ, His only Son, and the blessed Holy Spirit, distinct yet three in one. I believe there is one.